Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different financial businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the third of that series, and I interview Ashley Weichoff, founder of Pretty Penny Accounting. As Ashley says, numbers are her thing. And the truth is, they aren't all business owners' thing. So that's where her accounting firm comes in. Ashley and her team offer bookkeeping and financial advisory services to give business owners financial clarity, confidence in their numbers, and a system for organization and compliance. In this episode, Ashley shares the twists and turns on her journey to becoming a business owner, and she explains what's working well in the marketing of her own business. Listen in, and don't forget to visit the show notes to get all the links for this episode. Thank you, Ashley, so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on the podcast with you today.
Well, you've built this incredible business, demystifying the financial side of business for female entrepreneurs. Can you share a little more about the problem that you help solve?
Absolutely. So I've been doing accounting for small businesses for almost 10 years now. And what I know is that understanding the financial side of a business is just as important to a business's success as the quality of what they sell, their customer service, or even their marketing strategy. But the issue is that getting access to the information that can help business owners, entrepreneurs, people who are kind of just starting out, getting access to information that can help them better understand the numbers in their business is very confusing. I think a lot of people have been down the rabbit hole of Google trying to figure things out and trying to understand what it is that they need to do. So what I do is really present that information in an approachable way, help business owners in a way that makes them feel comfortable and really confident in the numbers in their business.
Absolutely. I think you and I both know there's a difference between generating revenue and actually keeping that money as profit in the business.
Yes.
And that affects your ability to pay yourself, to pay your team, to reinvest back in your business. And so often, I think when you're first starting out, you're so focused on the revenue number. And then there's all this stuff that happens in the back end. It's like, oh, where'd all that money go?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big believer in sales cures all. So really focusing on that revenue is a really healthy place to focus, but you've got to make sure you've got the systems in place to keep the money in your business and it's not all just kind of falling out the bottom.
Absolutely. And I agree with you that Google is a challenging place to start. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there's definitely a need for it when you're first starting out and maybe you don't know that you're ready to hire someone like yourself or you don't have the funds to. But I really love your approach of making finance approachable for small business owners, because I think it's important to empower yourself with the knowledge too, and not just hand something off to someone like yourself without understanding what's happening with your numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to knock Google at all, because I have done a lot of things in my business by Googling things and really figuring it out on my own. But what I find is that if I can find somebody to really like take advantage of the resources that they have available that are going to tell me things in a way that I understand, that saves me a lot of time and a lot of headaches. So that's what I aim to do in the accounting space, is really provide people with the information in a way that's easy to digest.
Absolutely. So can you share a little more about what your services entail and kind of the couple different options that you have available for small business owners?
Absolutely. So kind of the three different things that I offer are monthly bookkeeping services. So that's really kind of the bulk of things. That's people who, business owners who are ready to take the bookkeeping tasks off of their plate, have somebody else handle it for them so that each month they have accurate numbers and can make decisions based off of those financials. So the monthly bookkeeping portion is kind of one service. Another thing that I offer is advisory services. And I offer advisory services to all of my bookkeeping clients, but I also offer advisory services as a one-off service to people who aren't a client. So that for someone who is doing their own accounting or isn't quite ready to hire an accountant, they can still jump on a call with me and really talk through how to budget, how to price their products or services, how to afford the next hire, where to invest their money, that kind of thing. And then the third kind of pillar of things that I offer are those resources for people who are doing their own accounting. So that looks like free resources and courses and like toolkits and digital downloads for things like how to start outsourcing and how to calculate what you can afford in your business, those type of things, so that people can take advantage of those before they're ready to actually hire an accountant to come into their business and take it to the next level.
Yeah, I just love how you have a few different options that really meet people where they're at. I think it's a really great suite of services. And I'll just say the advisory especially, I think, is immensely valuable for someone to be able to say, hey, I need some second eyes on these numbers, and here's my goal, and how do you think I can accomplish that?
Absolutely. Sometimes we just need to talk to somebody. We just need to let them know, like, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. I just need to hear from you what I need to do next, what my next steps are.
Sure. And because you are on the financial side of many businesses, you also may have some creative solutions that a business owner hasn't considered.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite things about what I do, is I learn so much from the business owners that I work with about how they handle situations, about how they've grown their business, what's worked for them, what hasn't worked for them. I feel like it gives me a really unique perspective, but it also is just really fascinating to learn about how people run their business.
I agree. I see the same thing on the marketing side.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm going to just ask you a question. I often get asked, how much of my revenue should I reinvest back in marketing? And I find that answer varies wildly depending on someone's unique situation. But I wonder if you have any guidelines for anyone who's listening about how you might answer that question.
Yeah, I'm with you on it. It widely varies. And what I would say is that it varies based on what the business owner's goals are. So if a business owner's goals are to spend more time with their family or pay off debt or something that's more personally related focused, then maybe their goal isn't to reinvest all the money back into the business and just have it scale really fast. In that instance, it might look like their marketing budget might look a little smaller. If the goal is to really put all their energy into the business and grow and serve more customers or sell more products, you know, like really get their product or service in more hands, then your marketing budget is going to be a lot higher. You're going to be investing more in the business. And usually I see businesses go through like a, I almost think of it as like a stair step going up, where there's certain times where you're not investing as much in the business, you're kind of on a flat surface, and then you're going to do a big jump up where you're investing a lot of money back into the business, you're marketing heavily, you're really putting all your energy back into the business so that it can grow, and then it's going to level out a little bit more until you hit that next stair step up. So I know that's not really a number to give you, but it's because it really does vary depending on what the goals are.
Well, I love your answer because I often don't think a number is very helpful for people if it's not taking into consideration all that nuance that you just explained.
Absolutely. And then people want to hold on to a percentage or a number and kind of make that their steadfast rule, when really it should be kind of an evolving, changing number picture.
Sure. So let's say someone's listening to this podcast and they're wondering, am I ready to bring Ashley into my business? When would you suggest someone seek out your services?
So I think this probably goes for anyone who provides services. And I think that you can probably relate to this with marketing, is it's really once it hits a pain point. And I would love if people came to me before that pain point, but that's just when we naturally decide to outsource something in our business. So if a business is at a point where they're really struggling to figure out what they can afford or where their money is going, or really how to, where to invest their money to take it to the next level, that's a great time to work with an accountant. If you are someone who just avoids your accounting, never looks at it, I would suggest hiring somebody to help you with that accounting, hiring someone like us, because having clarity over those numbers really can help a business make better decisions in their business, which help in so many different aspects. And it really takes a weight off of the business owner's shoulders to know that the financial piece is taken care of, things are healthy, someone's gonna kind of let them know if there's a red flag or something going wrong. Yeah, so kind of just once a business owner is at the point where they're either not taking care of it themselves or they really need to better understand their numbers in order to take their business to that next level to make better business decisions.
I love that. And I agree with you. I so wish that the world worked where people reached out before they actually were in a dire or a really painful yeah. situation where they needed help, whether it's for your services or mine. But I think that's just the way that decision-making works. Sometimes we don't always pursue something until it's like a huge need.
Yeah.
But I will say that for me, one of the best first things I outsourced in my business, one of the best things I outsourced in my business was the financial side, because I don't know that it's always in the business owner's best interest to keep holding on to that task. And for someone to handle the bookkeeping and then come in and help advise on the financial side, like that's where the business owner's eyes are needed, is to communicate the vision and communicate the goals and then work with someone like you and say, okay, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. What are the few different ways we can do it? But in terms of like holding on to bookkeeping, I mean, that's just not, I think, the business owner's most valuable use of their time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we only have a finite amount of time in every day. So if we can spend that time focused on revenue generating activities, like marketing or wherever their time is best spent in that space, then the business owner then allows their business to grow by getting some of those tasks off their plate.
Absolutely. Do you think there's benefit? I'm going to guess, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you, do you think there's a benefit to having both your bookkeeping and advisory services with the same person rather than, you know, separating those out as two separate hires?
I do, because the person doing your bookkeeping is intimately in your business all the time. So they're not only seeing the big picture at the end of the month, they're also seeing things as they happen and can notice a lot of little things that come up. Like maybe there's just different small expenses that maybe could be cut back because they're not really helping the business grow, or they're seeing a way a certain process is working that could be more efficient. A lot of times we are kind of helping the business owner improve processes that aren't even things that we do. It's just something that we can tell they're doing that could be done so much easier, faster, better, which plays into that advisory piece. So I do think it's really helpful to kind of have those in the same boat.
Yeah, that was certainly my experience when I consolidated those two items, and for the same reasons that you just shared. So Ashley, why did you start your business and what inspired you to venture off on your own?
Yeah, I love this question, because I think from a pretty young age, I knew but didn't really know that I would be an entrepreneur. I think I always knew I would own my own business. When I was really young, and when my parents used to ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do when you get older? I would always say, I want to work in one of those really tall buildings with the windows all around and have an assistant. Like, I didn't know what that job was. That's just the job that I wanted. So obviously I'd been watching way too many rom-com movies or something. I'm not sure. But once I graduated college and I went to work for a CPA firm, and then I went to go work for a company as a controller. And throughout that time, especially the kind of the last couple of years leading up to before I started my business, it was truly the story of like, don't quit your daydream. I would find myself just constantly daydreaming about what it would look like to start my own business and create my own schedule and have time freedom and financial freedom and the freedom to create services that I wanted to offer and work with business owners that I wanted to work with. And just really like, I mean, I was constantly daydreaming about it. And so one day I was on my lunch break from work and I was just literally sitting in my car eating my lunch. And I just thought, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to start it. I decided on a business name and I created an LLC. And then from there, it just things kind of took off and like kind of took a pace of its own, which was really exciting. But if anybody, like I always just tell people, if there's something that you can't stop thinking about, just take one, the very next step to get you towards whatever that would be, even if it's a really small step, and just kind of let it see where it takes you.
I love your story. I think it's really fabulous. And I love that you were daydreaming about as a child, like I want to work in one of those big fancy buildings and have an assistant. And I imagine working for one of the, you know, large accounting firms somewhat fulfilled that dream, but then you got inside and thought, oh, maybe this isn't exactly the dream. And that's where the daydreaming started.
Yeah, it's just so interesting how your life can kind of evolve and change. And like, I don't work in a big, tall building with glass windows now, you know, that's not my job, but I still feel like I have my dream job. And it constantly keeps evolving into more of the dream job that I want it to be.
That's amazing. And do you think those years at a large firm laid a strong foundation for you for starting your own business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the business that I worked for actually wasn't too big. But I was given a ton of responsibility there and a lot of freedom to really work closely with the business owners that were my clients. And I absolutely loved it. The foundations that I learned working there are truly what have helped me build my business. Without that experience, it would be very difficult to just set some of the processes and things in place that I was able to learn and really adopt and even create some of those processes when I was working at the accounting firm. It's been so helpful now.
Yeah, I bet. I find sometimes, even if we're in a job prior to starting our business that maybe isn't our favorite, there's still a lot of foundation that's laid there that really serves as the catalyst and groundwork for what happens next.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that every phase comes with its own learning, like it's teaching you something in that phase. So just kind of lean into it, learn everything that you can, and then take what you've learned there kind of into the next phase of life, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the bigger challenges I see on the marketing side of things is that sometimes business owners are focused on or distracted by whatever the market is saying is the latest and greatest shiny marketing tactic. Clubhouse, TikTok, Pinterest, webinars, evergreen funnels, whatever is being pushed by the industry. And I find that this can really have a detrimental impact on the business growth because it doesn't help business owners really fully understand their marketing system as a whole. It's more like, here's one tactic that we're pushing on everyone. And so, you know, I like our guests to share a little bit about what's working for them and what's not, because I think it's really helpful to hear from actual business owners who are in the field doing this day in and day out, what their system looks like from a high level, and then looking towards other industries too, because I find that marketing, just probably like financial principles are, is really universal. And there's a lot to be learned from other industries and other business owners rather than just staying super focused on, you know, our own industry and our competitors and what they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. That I think we all learn from other business owners. That's like our best source of how we figure things out. So my mom owns a couple Nothing Bundt Cakes franchise stores. Mm. So if anybody's listening and has had Nothing Bundt Cakes, they're amazing.
They are.
But she is truly a saleswoman at heart. And what she's always taught me is that people want to buy from their friends. People want to support their friends. And they want to buy from people that they know. So I feel like my marketing and sales approach has always been to make friends with people, because not only will you maybe get a sale out of it, but also it's fun, right? Making connections and connecting with other people is really fulfilling. So when I started my business, all of my clients were coming from referrals just in the local area. I was working with, you know, friends of family or people that I had met before had a brother's cousin that needed, had a business and needed help or whatever that looked like. So it was all just referrals and kind of networking in the local area. And then when the pandemic hit in 2020, I realized I didn't have a website. I had never done any marketing online. I didn't have any social media, nothing like that. I really was just truly going off of, you know, calls I would get from a referral. And I thought, well, I've got a little extra time now. Why not build a website and try to start learning how to market myself? So at that time, I built a website. I started an Instagram page and just learned along the way and really made that a form of making friends on a different scale than I was just going to kind of local networking events. And just went in with the intention of just having fun with it and just seeing where it took me and trying to stay consistent. And that's really where, that's really been my marketing strategy, is just to connect with people, make it fun, and make friends.
I love that. And I think, first of all, I think when we see our marketing as a relationship building tool, then everything becomes a lot easier, in my opinion. And it's not so much about how many followers am I getting? How many clicks am I getting? Which really dehumanizes the purpose of marketing, in my opinion. And I agree there's a place for those numbers. But at the end of the day, we need more people to know us so that then they're going to like us and trust us and be willing to do business with us. And I really think your marketing strategy highlights that. And I love the shift from referrals only to, okay, now how do I take that online and scale it a little bit more, and all from the comfort of my own home office or wherever you're working.
Yeah, absolutely. And from a, something that I teach a lot on a financial side is that when you're making business decisions, you really want to combine your gut feelings as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, with the actual numbers that are happening in your business. And I think it's the same when it comes to marketing. You want to combine, the analytics are important, right? It's an important part of figuring out what's moving the needle, where to put your time and energy. So taking those analytics and those numbers, but combining that with your feelings of what feels good in my business? Where do I feel like people are connecting with me? What am I enjoying? What do I enjoy doing? Who do I enjoy connecting with? And then combining those two things.
I love that. And there's really not only one way to market your business. So if you say like, I hate video. Okay, well then I'm never going to recommend, like, let's put you on TikTok. Like, no, we'll find another way for you to build relationships and market your business, you know? And I think that's a really smart approach that you've taken, which is, this is very nuanced. And let me do something that I feel comfortable with and I feel good about. And not to say that you're not ever stretching yourself, but you're playing in an arena that you feel like you can succeed at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you just said, even about video marketing. Like, if something's not your thing, don't force yourself into it or add it onto your to-do list, because it's going to get moved down the priority list real quick.
Yes. Now, well, I'm going to ask you two questions. One, do you get like weekly bundt cakes at your house? Because that sounds amazing, but maybe not so good for the waistline.
I was going to say, I wish, but also glad that I don't.
Two, were you, you know, you have an amazing Instagram account. I really love what you're doing on there. Did you ever feel uncomfortable in the beginning moving to a new channel like that?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh yes. I was so nervous and so hesitant to even start an Instagram account. I think maybe, I feel like a lot of people probably go through this. You feel weird starting a new Instagram account or starting to market your business on your personal account because you've got friends and family who may not want to see it, or you're nervous. Like, what if I put all this out there and then it fails, right? Like, what if I tell everyone that I have this accounting business and I'm marketing it and it doesn't go anywhere, and then it seems like this big failure? That's obviously a huge fear. But what I realized was that the dreams that I had and what I wanted to do were so much more important than those feelings of failure. And you just got to go for it. Like, no one is paying enough attention to you as you are to you. And if you fail or something doesn't go well, most likely no one's going to notice except for you, right? Like, the people who are going to buy from you are going to buy from you. Your friends and family are going to support you. And The rest is just things that we put in our own head.
Absolutely. And also at the end of the day, like someone unfollows you or they don't want to see that content, like that's not really that much skin off our back, you know?
Yeah, totally. Definitely not.
Okay. So you have also these great free resources on your site, like your cash flow management guide, gaining financial clarity, your small business startup costs. Do those help you qualify prospective clients, meaning you're collecting their email, they're raising their hand and saying, hey, I might be interested in taking the next step because I'm downloading this content?
Yes, absolutely. So that's the goal with some of those free resources that I have. We also do a weekly newsletter. And I find that people that are signing up for that weekly newsletter, our newsletter is very much focused on giving like tangible tips, things to focus on, really like in the accounting, the numbers side of the business. So I feel like the people that are signing up for those newsletter and aren't unsubscribing, right? That goes back to unfollows. If someone's unsubscribing, it just means it's not helpful to them right now, and that's okay. But the people who are opening those emails and paying attention to them are what I would consider qualified leads, people who are interested in learning more.
Absolutely. And do you, I ask this because I hear this from a lot of people, do you find it hard to keep up with that weekly content, or is it now just so integrated into your system and you see the value of it that it just happens no matter what?
Yeah, that second part. So something that I brought in help once my business really started growing and I realized how much people were appreciating the content, something I really enjoy doing is teaching and sharing that content. And people were really connecting with it. I was really getting a lot of feedback that it was helpful and people wanted more. And so I knew it was something that needed to stay at the top of the priority list of things that got done. So I hired help to come in and help me make sure that it stayed consistent and that people were getting those emails, getting different resources, really getting to, I've got a blog post that goes out once a week as well. And so really getting to make sure people are getting access to that information consistently was definitely worth it to stay on top of that.
I think that's smart. And perhaps you're still staying in the educational role and helping provide ideas for that content, but someone else is taking it and executing it and doing all the things that you don't necessarily need to be doing, like hitting publish or building it out in your email marketing system, creating graphics, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, you are exactly right. And the teaching side is something that I enjoy. So kind of back to that, keeping your marketing strategy focused around things that you enjoy doing or that feel good. I really do enjoy sharing that information. So staying involved in that side of things has been really fun for me. But there are tasks that are involved that don't need to be me to complete. So yeah, absolutely.
Ashley, you also have these great, as you mentioned before, DIY courses like the outsourcing toolkit or the mini course on business foundations or be your own bookkeeper and QuickBook for entrepreneurs. I'm curious, do people who buy those courses, perhaps if some of them eventually become clients of your bookkeeping and advisory services, does that also serve as a way to qualify people who maybe aren't ready now, but will be in the future for those services?
Absolutely. So what I had found, the reason that I created the courses is that I found that there was like a miss in the accounting industry for business owners who needed more time before they were ready to hire an accountant, or maybe just wanted to do their accounting for as long as they think is possible to do their own accounting, depending on how big they want to grow their business. And so creating those resources was kind of for two different things. One, to really serve those people who just want to be able to do it on their own. And the second is for people who know that they're going to hire an accountant at some point, and hopefully that will be me, but know they're going to hire somebody, but need something in the interim, need some help, some resources, some way to figure it out until then. And then truthfully, it's helpful to me when clients come to me and they've been keeping up with things on, even if it's not perfect, on some sort of basis. We've got clients that come to us who have things a total mess, and that is, we love that. So we're not scared of it. But the clients who come to us who have been using some of the resources and taking advantage of things that are out there and learning how to manage it on their own, they have a really good understanding of how the finances work in their business. And so that is also a lead generation to bring them in to kind of want to work with us on the bookkeeping or advisory side.
Love that. I also think it gives someone a taste of what you can do and for not a huge investment, and it really helps showcase your expertise and your authority because you've packaged all this information in a nice and easy to consume way compared to if someone were trying to Google this and it's, you don't know what you don't know, right? So I think it's really smart, and it allows you to sell your expertise without your one-on-one time or your team's one-on-one time when someone's not quite ready for that.
Absolutely. I love, like I said a couple of times, I like the teaching side, but the teaching side is also such a huge marketing tool. It lets people get to know me, get to know how I teach, how I speak, how I approach different things. They get to see, even if it's just a written blog post or a written free resource or something like that, they get to see, do I understand how it is that she teaches? Do I understand how she communicates? Is that someone that I would want to learn more from or work with? So doing, kind of giving away as much as you can. I'm a big believer of you can't give away enough. Someone's going to want to, some people crave that personal attention and are also just at some point going to need the task off their plate. So giving away a lot of information is not going to deter them from working with you. It more just gives them the ability to get to know you and your business and how you operate better.
Absolutely. And I think for any industry that historically has been rather difficult to understand or not very transparent, which I think accounting would fall into. I think the legal industry also falls into that. I think medical also falls into that. Marketing too could fall into that. I think giving away information so people better understand what they're doing just creates a better buyer at the end of the day for you when someone's ready.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It just makes them, they're also going to understand their finances enough to know I need someone to come in and help me. I know enough to know that I need help.
Right. And I think kind of gone are the days where we buy without some of that knowledge. You know, I always like to think about this from a medical standpoint. Like, no longer do we as a society go into the doctor tells us something to do, and we just follow it without understanding it, right? That's not how people operate anymore, how they make either purchase decisions or behavior decisions. And so I think really coming at it from an educational standpoint is a really smart marketing strategy. And I think it's evident in everything you do. Like, if anyone's listening to this podcast and just goes and checks out Ashley's Instagram, which will be linked in the show notes here, like, you can see she's giving away a ton of valuable information. Like, I think about just a post I saw recently, well, not that recently, a couple months ago, but that was about pricing. And you gave them a pretty clear formula on include your materials, include your packaging, include your neighbor or your labor, not your neighbor.
Maybe your neighbor if your neighbor's helping. Yeah, maybe.
And doubling your wholesale price or quadrupling that price for your retail price. I just thought it was like, oh my gosh, someone could take that, run with it, and then associate that win with Ashley.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that just in general, just sharing that information is helpful. And I love what you said about gone are the days of us just, you know, seeing a sales page and clicking purchase or talking to a doctor and just saying, yep, all right, just going to follow you. People want to know more. They want to understand why. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs are kind of bootstrappers, right? They're like, I'm going to figure this out until I can't, or I'm going to really make sure that I'm making the right investing decisions or spending decisions in my business. We're not just kind of spending willy-nilly. So people are going to be doing their research, even if they get a referral from somebody. My business, a lot of people still come to me from referrals, but they'll say to me on a call, yeah, so-and-so referred me. And then I went to your Instagram and I stalked your page and I looked at your website. Like, they did their research, even though there was a referral before they talked to me. And by the time we're on a call, they're pretty much already like, yeah, I want to sign. I just kind of want to talk to you for 5 minutes. Kind of thing. So having that information out there and letting people get to know you is such a valuable way to bring leads in and get them to build that know-like trust.
I think what you say, I just want to highlight it for anyone who's listening, because sometimes it can feel like such a drag. At least I hear this a lot from clients creating all that content. But if you can then have a sales call where someone's ready to buy because the sales work has already been done for you, what a gift as a business owner, or even as the sales or marketing team who's trying to generate revenue for the business.
Yeah, I don't know. This probably is different for different industries and different for different things that you're selling, but My sales calls now are booked at 15 minutes. When I started, I would book them at like 30 minutes or longer. And now I only book sales calls with people who have seen my pricing, who understand what I offer, and have seen at least some kind of guide of what we're about, so that they are a qualified lead by the time we're on a call, or a qualified buyer even by the time we're on a call, rather than, again, our time is valuable. So when we're starting and trying to get a lot of new business, it's kind of like interviewing. You'll get on a call with anybody, right? And that's great. It's great practice. But as you grow and you need to save more time, you really want to make sure that the people that you're talking to have already gotten to know you a little bit before you're getting to that call.
I love that. And, you know, it's interesting. There are different practices. Some people don't reveal pricing until someone's on a call. But I do think if you have some sort of, I don't know if this is the right way to describe your services, but productized service where it's very clear in scope and you don't have to create some sort of custom proposal, it really behooves you to be transparent about pricing up front before you talk to someone, so that they understand what investment they'd be making and they don't need more time to think about it after they've gotten on the call with you.
Yeah, it is interesting because I've gone back and forth in my business where I've had my pricing super visible and then I haven't, and kind of tried different strategies to see what I felt like worked best. But it has come down, and I still think that both are great. It just depends on the way your business operates, what feels good to you. So I don't think one is better than another, but one of my core values, and this just comes to kind of the financial piece, I'm asking business owners that I work with to be really transparent with me about their spending habits, about where all their money is moving around. It's a very vulnerable, can be very vulnerable conversations. And I'm asking them to be very transparent with me. So I like to set the tone from the beginning, being very transparent with them. And to me, or for my business, that looks like sharing pricing, like right out of the gate. Like, this is what I charge, or this is at least what my starting prices are. There's no kind of hidden veil. I'm not gonna all of a sudden reveal something, because I want them to come in and feel super comfortable just laying it all out for me.
Yeah, I think that's a smart strategy for you. And I agree, there isn't one right way to do it. I do know one of our guests, Sarah Ferrandina, who is a conversion copywriter and does custom proposals. She started putting her starting price on her website so that she was taking more qualified calls, but fewer of them. And she said that for her, that was super helpful. It wasn't, hey, this is the end all be all price, because sometimes projects are much larger in scope than what her starting price, but she said, this is where the starting investment is. So if you're not ready to invest this, totally get it, but we're probably not going to be a right fit right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I agree with that. I think letting them see, honestly, sometimes it's motivation too. Like, okay, I've gotten Ashley's resources. I've maybe even taken a course. I know that I want to work with her or her business, and I know that this is what her starting prices are. That's now a goal for me. How am I going to make that work? Because I need this off my plate. This is the business that I want to work with. They'll know those starting prices. I don't think it scares people away. It's just different service providers are best for different types of business owners. And if they want to work with you, they'll make it work.
And your courses are a great option for someone who's not ready to make that investment. I think that's probably been something really smart that you've added to your product suite, if you will, which is, hey, you still want to work with me? Here's another way to do it.
Yes, absolutely. Here are other options. Here's what I have. Here's how I can meet you where you are until you're ready to come in at a different price point or at these other services.
Ashley, I so appreciate you kind of pulling back the veil and sharing a little bit about what's been working for you in your business, as well as just sharing all the amazing ways that small business owners who are listening to this podcast can work with you. And so my final question for you is, if you had to give advice to someone who's working on their business and working on their marketing and growing their business, what might that one piece of advice be?
My biggest piece of advice is to stay consistent. Stay consistent even when it feels like people aren't listening or people aren't buying or you're not seeing the conversion that you want to see. Just stay consistent with what feels good. Listen to your audience. Give them more of what it is that they want, because that consistency will pay off. If you post something and only one person likes it, or if you send an email and only one person opens it, that's still one person who's interested in hearing what you have to say. And the more consistent that you are, the more that will continue to build. and your business will just naturally grow. It'll catch on.
Love that. So Ashley, where can our listeners go to find out more about you and your business online?
Yeah, so you can, my website is pplcaccounting.com. And if you go to pplcaccounting.com/resources, you'll see free resources, so free downloads, and then also the mini courses and courses about how to be your own bookkeeper, how to manage your bookkeeping and QuickBooks Online, all kinds of stuff you'll find there. I'm also on almost all social media as Pretty Penny Accounting. You can always start a conversation with me there. I'm happy to chat. And I'm also always sharing a lot of information. So you can find me there anytime.
I will include the links to all of those in the show notes. So please make sure to check them out. And thank you, Ashley, so much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you. I so enjoyed chatting with you today. And I appreciate you having me on the podcast.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.